CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. I welcome my colleague, Claudia Rosat, foreign policy fellow with Independent Women's Forum, writing most recently of what we're looking at now in Ukraine and lessons learned so far. Claudia, a very good evening to you. The headlines from the Wall Street Journal are alarming and promising. Volvo Car and Volvo Truck Group halt sales, productions in Russia. Russia reciprocates with airspace ban after EU-Canada prohibitions. Sanctions put Russian banks under severe pressure. Prominent oil trader says market is in denial over Ukraine war. Russia's ruble slides amid trading restrictions. Russians scramble for dollars. U.S. other major oil consumers considered tapping reserves as prices surge. Japan sanctions Russia's central bank. It goes on, but we're looking at financial repercussions of the military invasion of Ukraine. You mentioned in your article most recently, PJ Media, this is a gunfight. What does that tell you about how, so far, the U.S., NATO, the EC, the European Central Bank, and the EU have responded to Russia's predation? Good evening to you, Claudia.
Good evening, John. Well, as I wrote, we're doing all these, taking all these actions, and at the same time, as everyone says, we stand with Ukraine. What's really going on is as much more as if we're all sitting like spectators at the Colosseum and we're watching Ukraine do single combat against Russia. It's Ukrainians who are dying. This is a killing war, and that's what's really going on here.
The financial maneuvers, much announced these last days, and they've been used, if I understand correctly, in the way you use a barrage in the first war. You walk it up to the enemy. Right now, we've reached a point where they're directing much of the attention to the Russian Central Bank, which is vulnerable, but also all of the European economies are vulnerable because of their dependence on Russian natural gas. Do you measure that these financial tools are effective in stopping a state that has predation on its mind?
John, I'm doubtful. These are tough, you know, no question. They're tougher than what we've been doing, but there are a number of factors here. Putin has had years to prepare for this and had to expect we would be doing this. We have telegraphed this well in advance and taken our time about it. Second, sanctions tend to erode over time. The president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, was out there in the last 24 hours saying that don't leave loopholes. Don't leave it. You know, he was saying it's not enough, and he's right. And the problem is, it's very hard to make it enough. They have sanctions aren't a sort of wall, a concrete wall that you build. It's more like a sieve, and they tend to get leakier over time. They erode. The U.S. stops enforcing them for political reasons. I've been looking at trying to compare this with the sanctions we put on Iran, which were similarly tough, and yet there's Iran today. They survived them. And Russia has also made provisions with China. We don't know the full extent of those, but I suspect that will help mitigate it. And basically, you have a oil and gas, one of the world's top oil and gas producing countries here, where that is a powerful incentive for people to avoid the sanctions, evade the sanctions, drop the sanctions, cheat. So it's sort of, Putin has to, will have to wait this out a bit. It's a hard blow right now, but I suspect what he sees is that if he just can stick it out for a while, it will start to fade. That's my concern. Meantime, we have a hot war in Ukraine. That's where this is really being decided. And for all the sanctions, the message we are sending is we won't go and fight and die for you. We'll leave you to do it yourself.
Also watching this is China, Beijing, the Communist Party. Xi Jinping is in an election cycle for him. He wants to be endorsed for his third part of leading the Chinese Communist Party's general secretary. That endorsement comes in the fall if all goes according to plan. However, watching this, what is the Chinese Communist Party learning? You've written persuasively about Hong Kong. What do we learn about how China treats Hong Kong? What can we expect from China watching Ukraine?
Terrible things. Look, we all stood with Hong Kong. Hong Kong has fallen. What's going on there right now is horrendous. It's very hard even to get in. And one of the messages As the Chinese Communist Party is gathering lots of intelligence out of what's going on in Eastern Europe right now and how we're responding, one message that the Biden administration is signaling very clearly is it's committed to defending formal allies, if there's a formal alliance. However, if you're not part of a formal alliance, like this is the situation with Ukraine, it's kind of your problem. You know, we'll send lots of help and cheer you on. Now, that has me greatly concerned about Taiwan, where we don't even officially recognize Taiwan. We're committed in principle to defending Taiwan, but what is the wiggle room here now from an administration that ran in a rout from Afghanistan, effectively invited Putin to invade Ukraine, you know, between killing Keystone, killing our, you know, choking our energy industry, Afghanistan, and so on. And what is the likelihood? I think Xi Jinping must be recalculating right now. And he's looking, I'm sure, as well at the sanctions we're putting on, because what China is learning is what we're willing to do, what we're not. Anything that we're afraid to do to Russia, we're almost certainly afraid to do in the way of economic pressure on China, which is much bigger and more powerful, has more resources, and is a master at evading these things. So they're gathering lots of intelligence on how they can now finesse if they make a kinetic grab, if they actually wage war, if they make a grab soon for Taiwan, what they need to be ready for and how they can get around it. This is a very fine chance for them.
What you're presenting, Claudia, is in a vision of the future in which we cast states into darkness. We cast Afghanistan into darkness. We cast Hong Kong into darkness. We cast Tibet into darkness. We cast the Uyghurs into darkness. And ahead of us is the possibility of casting Ukraine or part of it, and then Taiwan or part of it into darkness. Do I follow you correctly?
You follow me absolutely correctly. Step by step, that is precisely the problem. Where do we turn and really make a stand in defense of freedom? And that's what is going on in Ukraine right now. They are indeed the leaders right now of the free world, as were the people of Hong Kong when they rose up 2.5 years ago and articulated a better defense of freedom than you, I'm sorry to say, you usually hear in the United States these days. And we have got to look to the 1930s. We know where this goes. As something, we at some point, the United States has to say, we're really in this game, or we watch the lights go out until finally it arrives here, which, John, in some ways it already is.
The people of Taiwan, are they watching this as we are, and are they anticipating that they're next? Or, as been said over the years, they remain indifferent to that possibility. Which is it, Claudia?
We hear a lot that they think life is basically okay, but I think they certainly know. Here's a question that maybe crystallizes an answer to that. Watching what the president of Ukraine is dealing with right now, with these heroic statements and staying there at risk of serious risk of horrible things and his life, how much courage does it take right now to be the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, who is seeing how this plays out? And what she has to be seeing is that while the U.S. is willing to say we stand with whatever the target and send aid and put on sanctions, the people who actually are in the sights of the guns are left to make Molotov cocktails, rely on whatever they have. In Taiwan's case, yes, they have weapons. But again, it's a giant that has its guns trained on it's Goliath versus David, and it's not at all clear that it will work out that well.
Claudia Rosette is Foreign Policy Fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.